Good morning and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. We're glad you've joined us this morning. My name's Chris McElyea, your host, and I hope that you will stay with us for the next hour or so as we spend time in God's Word, continuing our study of the Old Testament in 2017. For most of the summer, we are in the book of Psalms. And today we are going to be looking at Psalm 71 and Psalm 72, Mighty Dominion. Before we do that, I do want to make you aware of a couple of things going on, and one of those is Camp Ida. Camp Ida is located near Maud, Texas. It is under the oversight of the Mount Vernon Church of Christ. And there is only one more session left that begins July the 2nd and runs through the 7th. The director for Session 5 is Brother Brian Braswell. Session 5's theme this year is Christian Character. For more information, call 501-732-6223. That's 501-732-6223. And again, for more information regarding Camp Ida or the use of it, contact Brother Richard Rutledge at 903-434-3072. The Mount Vernon Church of Christ right now is in its Wednesday Summer Lecture Series. And coming up next Wednesday, July the 5th, will be the topic of Hebrews chapter 5 with Speaker John McCormick from Atlanta, Texas. On July the 12th, Brother Jim Laws will be speaking on Hebrews chapter 6. Brother Jim is from the Broadway Congregation in Tyler, Texas. July 19th, Hebrews 7 with Chris Groda from the North Jefferson Congregation in Mount Pleasant. July 26th, Hebrews chapter 8 with Brother J.J. Hendricks, also from the North Jefferson Congregation in Mount Pleasant. August 2nd, Hebrews chapter 9 with Andy Baker from Maud, Texas. August 9, Hebrews 10 with Jeff Blanton from Fulbright. August 16, Hebrews 11 with Phil Hancock from the Broadway Congregation in Tyler, Texas. August 23, Hebrews 12, Brother Brian Berdeau from Caddo Mills, Texas. And finally, August 30th with Hebrews 13, Brother Neil Thurman from the University Congregation in Tyler, Texas. So I hope you're if you can be in the Mount Vernon area, that you'll join us for our Wednesday summer series on the book of Hebrews. Now let's turn our attention this morning to God's Word, and we're going to be considering Psalms 71 and 72 this morning. Psalm 71, God the Rock of Salvation. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me, and save me. Be strong, my refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise, and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed, who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor, who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness, and your salvation all the day. For I do not know their limits. I will go in strength, in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me, until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to every one who is to come. Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You have shown me great and severe troubles, shall revive me again, and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Also with the lute I will praise you, and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought to shame, who seek my hurt. Psalm 71 is closely related to the 70th Psalm, which we studied yesterday. And some actually want to join these two together as one psalm. Whatever the case, Psalm 71 continues the petition of the psalmist in the 70th Psalm. And this psalm begins with the fact in the first 8 verses that God is our refuge. Verse 1 says, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame." David immediately states and pronounces that his trust is in the Lord. The faithful disciple will never be put to shame. He prays confidently that God will not let him down. Verse 2, "Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me." David certainly knew the right place to go in his time of need. He would go to the Father. David is requesting God to not let him down and to not let him be put to shame by the outsiders because of his trust in the Lord. He asks for God to deliver, rescue, and save him. Verse 3 says, "Be strong, my refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. His confession of the relationship with the Lord here is, for you are my rock and my fortress, in verse 3. This call and confidence is based upon God's righteousness. We can deduce from these words that David is being treated unfairly or unjustly, and he desires for God to bring justice through judgment upon his enemies. We can see this more clearly in verse 4, where David asks God to rescue him from the hand of the wicked and the ruthless. He said, "Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man." God's righteousness is the basis for David's confidence. And in fact, David has held this confidence since his youth. Verse 5 says, "For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you." David uses the picture that God has been there watching over him and protecting him from his childhood. "I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge." The word wonder here, or marvel, a sign. David's life was a sign and a marvel to many people due to his ability to praise God continually and to trust in God as his refuge, even when in the hand of the enemy. In verse 8, he said, "Let my mouth be filled with praise, with your praise, and with your glory all the day." The next section of verses point out to us now that God is our hope. We find this in verses 9 through 16. In verse 9, David said, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." David is now an old man, and his strength is failing him. He asks for God to remember him and not forget him as he nears the end of his earthly pilgrimage. We would like to think that David was able to come to the end of his life in peace, but that was not the case. Even in his old age, times of suffering still came and enemies still pressed against him. Verse 10 says, "For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together." Even in his old age, the times of suffering still came. Verse 11, saying God has forsaken him, pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. The attack of the enemies is with their tongues. The enemies gather together, saying God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for there is no one to deliver. In verse 12, David said, "O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me." David sees these times as a time that God will be with and take care of him. This, however, is not what his enemies see in David's situation. Verse 13 says, "Let them be confounded and consumed, who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. Even with the disparaging view of the people, David puts his hope in God continually front and center. Verse 14 said, but I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. He continues to place his hope in God. And David declares that he will praise God more and more, and his mouth will continue to tell of God's righteousness. Verse 15 says, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. How often does our suffering cause us to doubt the righteousness of God? David all the more relies upon God's righteousness in spite of the suffering that he was enduring. In fact, David declares that we do not know or comprehend the sum of God's righteousness in verse 16 when he said, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Verses 17 through 24, we see that David will praise the Lord. Verse 17, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. David continues to describe the righteousness of God and praise him for this attribute. Verse 18, now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who has come. In verses 17 and 18, we find David is acknowledging God's care from the cradle to the grave. Verse 19, also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? David's trust in the Lord is great. Verse 20 says, you who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. David simply will not let go of God. How could David have this kind of strength all of his life through all of the tragedies and sufferings he endured? I think there is one short sentence that David kept in his mind that we often forget. O God, who is like you? Who is like God? Where else can we turn in times of trouble? Where else can we place our confidence if we will not trust in God? David seems to be saying that the Lord has brought him to this point through many trials, and God will continue to bring him through. Verse 21 says, you shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Verse 21 says, you shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. There is no reason to give up on God now. God is shown to be faithful all through David's life, and God's righteousness is the place that we need to place our confidence. Verse 22 says, also with the lute I will praise you, and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. Indeed, the faithfulness of God is the theme of this psalm. And the final two verses of this psalm seem to indicate that all of David's confidence has been placed in the right place. Verse 23, "My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought to shame who seek my hurt." God has redeemed David's life, and those who cause David pain have been put to shame. We learn from David in this psalm that we can follow faithfully from the cradle to the grave, so to speak. Even in the worst of times, even when we near death, we can confidently trust in the Lord. And this takes us now to Psalm 72. The heading is Glory and Universality of the Messiah's Reign. This is a Psalm of Solomon's. Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. He will judge your people with righteousness, and your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy, and will break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure, throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. In his days the righteous shall flourish, and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy, and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. And he shall live, and the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. There will be an abundance of grain in the earth, on the top of the mountains. Its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. There is some disagreements about the authorship and purpose of this psalm. We see it is at the end of the life of David and in the transition of Solomon to the throne. We also see much messianic promise in these verses also. The song begins, "Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son." David, at the end of his life, desired for God to give Solomon the ability to judge properly after his death. Of course, in principle, this desire would have been for all those that would one day sit upon his throne. Jesus Christ perfectly reigns with perfect judgment. Indeed, Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of this verse. Verse 2 said, "He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice." Again, note the messianic promise in that Jesus was the perfect fulfillment in righteousness and fairness and mercy even to the poor. Solomon, of course, showed great wisdom in events like the two women fighting over the life of one child, as we recall. The mountains will bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness, verse 3. The days of Solomon's reign were marked by splendor and great success and, for the most part, relatively peaceful times. The Church of Jesus Christ is a place of peace. Jesus offers perfect peace, in fact. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Verse 4 says, "He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break in pieces the oppressor." Jesus loved the little children. Jesus taught that the kingdom of heaven were of such as these. Jesus Christ truly breaks down the oppressor. Even the prophets understood this aspect of the kingdom of the Lord long before Pentecost. Do you recall Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44? "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Verse 5 says, "They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations." As we noted a moment ago in Daniel 2:44, "The kingdom of the Lord shall not fall, and it shall stand forever." Earthly kingdoms will come and go, but the kingdom of the Lord endures forever. Verse 6 says that, "He shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth." The reign of Jesus Christ is as peaceful and refreshing as the rain that falls upon a freshly mowed yard. It is pleasant and it is joyful. The gospel of Christ is alive. It is powerful. And it is fruitful. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." In his days the righteous shall flourish and abundance of peace until the moon is no more, verse 7. The reign of Jesus is the only reign where the righteous truly flourish. In a world of chaos and depravity, the abundant life of peace can only be found in Jesus. How long does this abundant life last? Until the moon is no more. Is that long enough for you? Verse 8 says, He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Solomon's rule and his kingdom were great and magnificent, but it did not meet the description of being from sea to sea. There is only one kingdom that is from sea to sea, and that is the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, which reigns to the ends of the earth. Verse 9 says, those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. Here, in this verse, it points out the fact that even the Gentile nations will bow before the reign of Christ. All enemies of Jesus will be trampled under his feet. Verse 10 says, the kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Just as the queen of Sheba offered up her gifts and tributes voluntarily to Solomon. How much greater is the weekly offering of love by the disciples of the Lord to the treasury of the kingdom? The subjects of Christ's kingdom give cheerfully, liberally, and purposefully every Lord's day an offering that is considered by all as a privilege to give. Verse 11 says, yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Not every king bowed down to Solomon, but every king will bow before Christ and serve him. Every earthly king is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the psalmist now begins to consider the goodness and benevolence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 12, for he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. The needy has a friend in Jesus, for he hears their cry. The poor have a friend in Jesus, for he hears their cry. The one who is alone has a friend in Jesus, for he hears their cry. Verse 13 says, he will spare the poor and needy, and will save the souls of the needy. Solomon certainly could help the poor and needy, and he did just that. But Solomon could not save the souls of the needy. Only Jesus Christ could fulfill this. Verse 14 says, he will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. We sing the song that so well fits our Savior's occasion on occasion. How I love the great Redeemer who is doing so much for me. With what joy I tell the story of the love that sets man free. The 14th chapter of Revelation in verse 13 says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them. He redeems the souls of those who follow him. They are indeed precious in his sight. Verse 15 says, and he shall live, and the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. Jesus reigns and lives eternally. The gold of Sheba, the most precious items, are given to him. He is worshipped and praised daily by his loyal subjects. Verse 16 says, there will be an abundance of grain in the earth. On the top of the mountains, its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. We are also reminded of the providential care of God in addition to his spiritual care for man. God blesses us with all of the necessities of life. Our problem is that sometimes we mistake luxuries for necessities. What does a man require besides food, shelter, and clothing? Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Verse 17 says, his name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. What a beautiful name, the name of Jesus. Fulfillment of the promises of the Father. The promise that went all the way back to Genesis 22 and verse 18, when God told Abraham that in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 tells us that, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 18, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. What a simple statement, but oh, what a powerful statement. God, who only does good. Verse 19, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The glorious name of God in all his glory. Yes, it certainly deserves a double amen. In verse 20, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Yes, this beautiful psalm of the greatness of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords can in fact be well summed up with the verses, with the words of verse 18. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. Psalm 71 and Psalm 72. I hope that you have found this study beneficial this morning. We hope that you will continue along with us in our study of the Old Testament this year on Mornings for the Master. Be sure to tune in tomorrow as Brother Chris Grota and Brother J.J. Hendricks will bring you another lesson from the Psalms. Also, stay tuned throughout the day for all of the programming here on the Gospel Radio Network. I encourage you to join me Friday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time for Studies in the Gospel, a 30-minute program each Friday in which we study through the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as we consider the life of Christ. If the Lord wills, I'll be with you again here on Mornings for the Master next Thursday at this same time at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And until then, we pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, and we hope that you have a great day. We'll see you then.